Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion with us on Let's Face the Issues. Lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. The question that I'm asking today, will our freedom survive? Talking about our American freedom. Will our Bill of Rights survive? Will the liberties that we've experienced in America for all of these years, is it possible for it to survive with the present set of circumstances, leadership, and the globalist mindset? America survived, I believe, some almost 250 years as a free nation, and every American considers our nation as the best nation on the face of the globe. We're only the only nation with a Bill of Rights as we know it today. The Bill of Rights that guarantees our freedom and our liberties. But today we're facing the woke globalists who want to destroy our freedoms and subject us to the repressive form of government that we see out of the Biden administration. That's what we'll be talking about today. There are several nuances of what is taking place that multitudes are not aware of the ultimate goal. For example, with the electric vehicles, the EVs, with digital currency, with the social media total under the control of the federal government for watching, for tracing, tracking every citizen. Is it possible, with these things taking place, is it possible for our freedom to survive? That's the question. And those different nuances we'll talk about today, and we invite you, right after the brief monologue, we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion on that. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. In John 8:31-32, with the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." It never changes. It's never modified. It's not to be bifurcated. Truth is truth. You've heard me say many times, I have truth as a whole lie. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today where truth is not sought after. It was the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be very true, if I can use that term today, to be very true. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful of where we're going and what we're doing as a nation. We are a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We elect our representatives. They're to represent us, but too often, those, whether it's on the city level, state level, or national or global level, ladies and gentlemen, you find that those that get into power have the position of authority, and they determine that we, the people, are simply to be the subjects to rule over. I am alarmed by what we see, and much of that comes as a result of Christians and churches failing to stand for truth. Let me just ask you a question. When's the last time your pastor stood in the pulpit and identified some of these deficits in government and what our governmental leaders are doing? When's the last time you heard your pastor say anything about what is morally, ethically, biblically incorrect with the Biden administration and what they're doing to tear down and destroy our faith, our family, and our freedoms in our great nation? It comes out of the church. And ladies and gentlemen, it's former Senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, that warns, headline, Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says, and I quote, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, where the foundation, which the foundation of the Western civilization rests upon. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a tall order, because multitudes today, in fact, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Now, that is foreign to anything that we've ever known biblically, theologically, doctrinally, constitutionally, but that's the mindset today. This is the reason we have today, across America, the socialist Marxist professors controlling the hearts and the minds of our students in the colleges and universities. This is the reason today we find the hundreds of thousands, may even be millions, that's in the streets demonstrating for the Hamas and their murderous jihadist agenda, rather than standing for the truth and our Constitution in America. 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say, and I quote again, each person determines his or her own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And may I challenge you with that statement today? I believe it's time, if there's ever been a time in Christian history that we must do that, it's today, right now. We need to stand for truth. We need to be as Ezekiel 33 talked about the watchman on the wall. We need to be ready to warn of the dangers to come and what is taking place. We need to recognize truth, seek it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7, the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God. as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the woke society today with the progressive form of government, with the globalist mindset undermining, tearing down, and destroying our constitutional republic. Now, perhaps you've heard the media talk about our democracy, that if President Trump goes back in, it'll destroy our democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are devolving to a democracy, but we are officially a constitutional republic. You might say, what's the difference? A democracy is where mob rules. Mob rules. We're devolving to a mob rule society in America. We're leaving our constitutional republic, and therein lies the problem. I'm looking at a headline, "The Systematic Killing of America." This writer says, and I'll read, it's about a 10-page article. I'm not going to bore you with all of it. This writer says, "I hope these articles have helped you understand what's going on in the nation and why we are in a spiritual mess, the mess that we're in. There's a reason why most pastors and religious people have no knowledge and cannot discern the truth." Further in the heart of the article, this writer says, "In America today, we're surrounded by powerful demonic elitists with great wealth and their useful idiots working faithfully to bring about the great reset of the New World Order and to enslave the citizens in this great nation." Further, he says, we're a captured nation ruled by Satan's elitists. We have become a nation where demons and false gods have gathered from around the world. The spirit of Babylon and the Antichrist are among us, but the true followers of Jesus Christ have been given the power to change and create the future before us. And he goes on to talk about the globalist elite, what's taking place. They possess the power. As a result of that, they're controlling we the people. And this writer says, it is the systematic killing of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a term that I had not considered, but it is absolutely factual. We're watching systematically the destruction of our morals and ethics and values, a systematic destruction, evisceration of our Bill of Rights. Now, we've watched the Biden administration by fiat. We watched the Biden administration by executive order make all kinds of modifications and changes to what we call the moral ethical values in the nation. Thus far, the Biden administration, in about 3+ years, has ruled by about 200 executive orders. 200 executive orders. An executive order is not law. An executive order is not legal. An executive order is something that should be used very, very reluctantly and very, very limited. But it's been used extensively in the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching the elitist and the globalist rule, and we the people simply are the subjects. So the question is, will our freedom survive? We're watching the constant chipping away, the constant, as that writer put it, the systematic killing of America. I'm looking at a headline, "Government sued over its anti-Christian discrimination." A lawsuit has been filed against the county and town of Blacksburg, Virginia, after officials there insisted on keeping their anti-Christian discrimination in place. The situation is over their decision to grant a tax exemption for college students of another religion, but then refused the same treatment for the Christian students. I'll just read a portion of this. The case is being pursued by the Rutherford Institute, which explains the fight is over a Christian ministry's right to be treated equally with other religions and charitable organizations which provide similar services. The legal team explained it this way. Through the Bradley Study Center, the Christian Scholars Network, CSN, ministries to the Virginia Tech community by holding worship services, prayer meetings, Bible studies, and weekly theological discussions and fellowship. The Rutherford Institute is challenging a local government's refusal to recognize the Christian Scholars Network as a religious association that uses its property exclusively for charitable, religious, or educational purposes, which would thereby qualify the Christian Scholars Network for a property tax exemption given to all other nonprofit religious organizations under the Virginia Constitution and state laws. John Whitehead, the chief of the Institute, that is the Institute that is challenging this, it is the Rutherford Institute, explained, the First Amendment not only affirms the right to religious freedom for people of all faiths, but it also requires that the government treat all faiths equally and not favoring or disfavoring one over the other. He warned this is the slippery slope that affects us all. Whether you're talking about religious freedom, free speech, or privacy, if the government is allowed to deny freedom to one segment of our citizenry, it will eventually extend tyranny to all citizens. And the question he asked, is anti-Christian discrimination on the rise in America? And to answer that question, it's yes, 100% yes. We're finding today a greater and greater disdain for Christians, a greater and greater disdain for anything that we call morals, ethics, and values. And we're seeing that as a result of the chipping away through the Biden administration's executive orders. Through the executive orders of the Biden administration, we have watched the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite agenda, permeate our schools from grade school through high school through college and university. We've watched today where abortion has become the norm and a pushed right, as they're calling it, across the board, state after state, instituting laws that will guarantee and secure the right of abortion on demand. We have watched the debauchery of our kids, some 246,000, last count that I had in an article, that of young people that have had their bodies butchered under the premise of a transgenderism that does not exist. It's antithetical to reality. It's antithetical to the truth of the Word of God. But you'll see that taking place. All in all, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is the question, will our freedom survive? Will our freedom survive? Will the constitutional liberties that we have in America, will it survive? We've just celebrated Thanksgiving as a nation. We the people, we've said, in essence, I don't know how you celebrated Thanksgiving, but the purpose is to say, thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the food, clothing, and shelter that you give us. So I don't know exactly how you celebrated it, but that's the purpose. And here we are now after Thanksgiving. We're looking back, and we're looking at the liberties that we have. And today our government continues to whittle away, as that writer put it that I shared earlier, systematically killing of America. We're watching the liberals today, the progressive woke society today. We're watching our liberties being dissipated, eviscerated, evacuated, and totally removed. Our national heritage is that of liberty. Our national heritage is that of freedom as a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 29:2, the scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. In Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness, that is rightness before God, exalts, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that transpire today. And yet I have heard very little from most Christian pulpits today that will counter that, will challenge that, and inform the congregation what is taking place. What is happening? Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you see our liberties being eviscerated? Do you see our constitutional rights being destroyed? Do you see a degradation of Christianity and the moral ethical values that we once stood for and had as a nation? Do you see those being dissipated today? Do you think there's a problem at the rate that we see this happening today? Do you think there'd be a problem in the future with what we see as the potentiality of having no freedoms? Can you imagine? One writer recently did a projection of 50 years down the road, if Jesus tarries, as to what America would look like, and where an elderly great-granddaddy is talking with a great-grandson, and the great-grandson says, I understand that we used to be able to do this, used to be able to do that. And the question is asked, Granddaddy, where did all of that go? How did all of that change? Why did it change? What took place? It is happening, ladies and gentlemen, at warp speed, but yet it is happening so subtly that the majority do not recognize that our freedoms are being dissipated. Our liberties are being dissipated. Where there's the mindset in society today that the Bible is not valued. The Bible is a book that needs to be banned. In fact, right here in the state of Florida, there's a push down in the Tampa area to remove the Bible from the library because it has vulgar stories in it. It has immoral stories, according to the ones that's pushing to have the Bible removed. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, do you see a problem with where we are in America? The question remains to be asked, demands to be answered. Will our freedom survive in America? At the rate we're going now, at the trajectory that we're in now, the direction that we're going now, will our freedom survive in America? Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I want us to consider a few questions that may determine the future of our freedoms. Number one, the government now mandates what kind of car you can drive. Yes, it does. And we'll talk about this further in the broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, the federal government's now deciding what we can drive and what we cannot drive, what kind of car we can drive, what kind of car we cannot drive. The law now requires that every manufacturer manufacture only electric vehicles by 2030. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. What does that connote? Well, you say, well, an EV. A lot of people are driving an EV today, although the total number of electric vehicles is probably 3, 4, maybe even 5% of the total auto sales. The mindset is for the federal government, we've got to force people to drive the electric vehicles. The Biden administration has ideas of grandeur and greatness at the expense of the freedom of Americans with what they're wanting to do with the electric vehicles. The government now, for example, determines what they feel is best for our personal health. Did you realize that the federal government now determines what we're going to drive? Federal government now determines what's best for our health. And the Biden administration, back in July, signed over the rights of America's freedom, health freedom, to the World Health Organization. Say that slowly for you to understand. At the apex of this winter, in my most humble opinion, the World Health Organization is going to announce a climate change global health emergency. And they have the powers granted to them by the Biden administration to enforce any health emergency on all Americans. That's going to be interesting to see whether or not they're successful in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we went through COVID, and in going through COVID, the government's already proven that they can mandate a shutdown of business. They can mandate a social distancing. They can mandate vaccines. They can mandate church closures. So they've already had what I call a trial run to be able to prove that they can control the citizens in America. Where we go, what we do, what we say. Ladies and gentlemen, the government's ready to identify, track, trace, and control every penny that we spend through digital currency. You heard me, digital currency. Let me read you a couple of brief articles. Love to hear from you. Are you in favor of digital currency? Are you in favor of the World Health Organization telling we the people in America whether we need to shut down our business, put on a mask, be forced to take a vaccination? Where do we stop surrendering our freedoms? What is the end game? And I tell you very quickly, the end game is total control. The end game is a total loss of liberties in America, a total implosion of the American Constitutional Bill of Rights freedoms that we have. I'm looking at a headline. Lawmakers are advancing a law that would block a digital dollar from becoming reality. Citibank customers, however, are getting digital tokens for their deposits under Citi Token Services. Citi, that's C-I-T-I. Citibank is converting bank deposits to digital tokens. Even if the folks in Congress can and ultimately will block the government from using a digital dollar. Now, let me back up, ponder a moment. I don't believe our government, I don't believe our legislators will be successful with any attempt to block the digital currency. Joe Biden, over a year ago, in fact, March a year ago, by executive order, directed the federal agencies, the federal banks, Federal Reserve System, to start converting to a digital currency, digital dollar. Several of the districts, like in New York and other major areas, have started instituting it on a regional basis and not on a national basis. To test run, this article further states, even if the folks in Congress could block the government from issuing a digital dollar, the banks are already, hear me, the banks are already issuing digital currency. It means your freedom could be soon limited, along with your ability to travel, your ability and freedom to invest, and your freedom to spend the way that you want to will be affected, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not hypothetical. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is fact. We're on the fast track for digital currency. We're on the fast track for the control of our health in America by the World Health Organization. Now, if we didn't have but those two things, ladies and gentlemen, it would be bad enough. If there were just those two issues that we're faced with, it would be difficult enough. I'm looking at another headline article. It's from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. He said, I just attended a meeting of financial experts. One of the world's leading experts on economic warfare gave a startling presentation holding up one worthless currency after another. He explained how what was once valuable is now worthless. We're not the only ones sounding the alarm about the dangers of the central bank digital currency as globalist central banks bankers continue to circle their forces around forcing digital currency, programmable funny money on everyone. Members of foreign governments are speaking out, yet it is taking place around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
with SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Michigan's Supreme Court is keeping former President Trump on the state's primary election ballot. The court says it will not hear an appeal of a lower court's ruling from groups seeking to keep Mr. Trump from appearing on the Michigan ballot. The White House admits to being concerned about indications that Iran, one of the world's leading state sponsors of terrorism, is accelerating its quest to develop nuclear weapons. Israel says one of its chief goals in the ongoing Gaza offensive is to locate and rescue hostages taken by Hamas during its October attack on Israeli civilians. More rebel targets in Iraq have been hit by U.S. missiles, retaliation for scores of attacks on American military personnel stationed in the region. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 79 points, the NASDAQ a fraction of a point higher. More details, srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, will our freedom survive? We're talking about our Bill of Rights. We're talking about our constitutional liberties. With what we see taking place on a global basis, what we see happening through the Biden administration on a national basis, is it possible that we will not survive as a constitutional republic in America? Is it possible that we're watching the diminishing, the dissolution, the evisceration, the destruction of our constitutional republic in America? One of the things that is on the agenda that I believe will do that very thing is the digital currency. Let me continue an article that we started just before the news break. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. He says, I just attended a meeting of financial experts. One of the world's leading experts on economic warfare gave a startling presentation holding up one worthless currency after another. He explained how what was once valuable is now worthless. We're not the only ones, he said, sounding the alarm about the dangers of the central bank digital currency. As globalist central bankers continue to circle their forces around forcing digital programmable funny money on everyone. Matt Staver says, Joe Biden is the only world leader pushing a central bank digital currency, nor is the Federal Reserve the only central bank convincing the need to replace cold hard current cash with programmable digital dollars designed to track. Hear me. This is the key. The digital dollars are designed to track, trace, and control finances of every citizen. This article states that European Bank announced it was in preparation for the first phase of implementing the CBDC in the European citizens. And it goes on and on and on in this article about the different nations. But the point is, as Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel, says, this digital currency will be able to track, trace, and control citizens' finances. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize with the digital currency, every penny you spend, every dime that you have, will be on your handheld devices. It will be downloaded. You'll not have to write a check. You'll not have to go to the bank, make a deposit. And many of the younger generation today are hailing that as a wonderful transition in society. Not having to worry about, you won't have to worry about a credit card, a charge card. All of that will be handled through your digital currency on your cell telephone or other hand device. Ladies and gentlemen, with the digital currency, if you buy a stick of bubble gum, it will tell when you bought it, where you bought it, how much you paid. If you put a gallon of gas in your automobile, if you can still buy gas in the future, put a gallon of gas in your automobile, tell how much you paid and where you were headed, where you were located. It will geofence every human being in America. It will be allow the federal government to control what you give. If you give to the wrong party, i.e., you have to be a MAGA follower, you give to the Donald J. Trump support, then all of a sudden your digital currency could very easily be dinged and or shut down, and you have no funds, no money. I could go on and on and on with the dangers of the digital currency, ladies and gentlemen. That is a high possibility that we'll see the tracking, the tracing, the identifying, and the controlling of every citizen in America through the digital currency. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen, on the basis that the scripture says in Psalms 11:2, that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're watching our foundations being eviscerated today. The foundations of liberty and freedom that we have in our Bill of Rights are being programmably so and in a piecemeal fashion, as the writer earlier spoke of, systematically killing of America, systematically dismantling what we have today that we call the United States of America. Our government's ready to identify, to trace, and to track every penny that you spend, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to understand also the government already controls our educational system. The government already controls our system of education from kindergarten through high school, through college, and through the university system, where the socialist, Marxist, communist professors are teaching our kids to hate America, to hate the Constitution, to hate God, and to hate the family. Now, you say that's pretty harsh. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part and parcel of the Marxist agenda. With the Karl Marx, the Marxist agenda, out of about 10 major points in the Marxist agenda, number one is to divide society ethnically. Secondly is to destroy the family. And third is to dethrone God. We see those things systematically being carried out today in America. Under the Biden administration, we the people, I believe, have lost our freedom of speech. The tracing, the tracking, the censoring, and the control by big tech. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that today, at this very moment, any telephone call, any text message, any email, any transmission of data is all filtered by an algorithm system that they can tell immediately who you're talking with, what you're saying, and it's all filtered to determine. Listen, I get hundreds and hundreds of emails every day. I send out dozens of emails each day. And if it's an article that I have found interesting, educational, I'll send it to others. And I found 7 out of 10 times those emails are blocked. I'm not allowed to send them. Ladies and gentlemen, what you send, what you say, what you text, what you do by your cell telephone and through your social media platforms is today being tracked and traced as we would never believe possible in the United States of America. I'll retouch on an article, then I'll take our caller. This headline says, James O'Keefe put on SSSS, that's four S's, SSSS list for extra screening on any flights. James O'Keefe on Sunday revealed that he was put on a list for extra screening for domestic flights. Trying to understand the SSSS designation on my domestic boarding pass. O'Keefe, the CEO of O'Keefe Media Group, said in a social media post on Sunday, the SSSS code on a boarding pass stands for Secondary Security Screening Selection. Palm Beach International Airport shut down an entire passenger line as O'Keefe made his way through the security checkpoint. Update from O'Keefe just received from the DHS employee. In 2015, SSSS was only used for people on the terrorist watch list. In addition to the additional screening at the checkpoints, also meant for federal air marshals on the plane following the person. It is unclear why O'Keefe was slapped with the SSSS designation on his boarding pass. However, it is recently revealed air marshals are stalking certain conservative citizens, even if they were not at the Capitol on January the 6th. Director of the Air Marshals National Services said air marshals are quietly following all Americans who flew into D.C. on or about January the 6th, 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being watched, we're being screened, we're being tracked, we're being traced, we're being censored. Where's the freedom in that? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good, doing good. I've read a lot of these articles there. Really, they need to redo the verbiage to drum up more interest in them. Basically, we're already in a digital currency environment. Every transaction that you do, if it's check or through your bank there, is electronically transferred. In other words, if I go onto my bank account via online and I have them pay bills, they don't send a physical check to make my truck payment. They send an electronic payment. Really, these articles should be rewritten in the form of they're wanting to take currency out of circulation.
Yes.
With currency being available there, that allows two things. It puts the ability to barter for goods and services on the table without outside interference. So if I want a butcher to give me a couple steaks, I can give him $40. He gives me two steaks. So there's an inherent value with the physical currency that says that he could take that $40 and then go over to the plumber and ask him to unclog a drain, and then the plumber could take that and go somewhere else. So you have a circulation of an item that has an inherent value established by society, whereas if you remove that currency, it becomes a digital market, which they can track and trace, which also comes back to our social media and our telephones. Now, you take away physical currency, and then there's a black market that develops there that says that, hey, let's go do some horse trading. I've got a chicken, and you've got some steaks there. Let's trade some steaks and some eggs there to make a good breakfast. Now, with that social media being tracked as well, hey, I'll beat you over at the River Market 9 o'clock there. I've got X, and I've heard somebody else has got Y, and so they could even use the social media along with the electronic communications to track us to even shut down bartering. So I do believe that revelation is already getting closer and closer each day, but that's how they will keep you from buy, sell, travel, trade, and that includes bartering, because they're going to monitor everything.
Jim, you're exactly right. We're watching, as I call it, the stage being set, the actors being put on the stage, and the curtains ready to go up of Revelation 13 in particular, where through the hand of the Antichrist, everything that's done, buying, selling, and trading, will have to be, let's use it in the vernacular, have to be approved by the Antichrist system, or you cannot buy, sell, or trade. And that's what will take place with the digital currency. Jim, another question that basically is in the same venue as the digital currency. What are your thoughts about the move today with China and Russia and two or three other nations planning on removing the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar, as the common exchange for global finances, global monetary exchanges? What will that do to America if that happens? And do you feel that that plays any part into what will ultimately be finalized with the digital currency?
You're referring to BRICS there. That's Brazil, Russia, right. India, China, and South Africa.
Yes.
This goal right here has one purpose and one purpose only there. It is to remove the United States. You got to remember, the United States has only been the currency standard since World War II. Prior to that, it was the British sterling for 200 years. Britain, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire there. This coalition, their only goal is to remove the United States as the standard for global economy there. And the petrodollar, all oil bought on markets now use the United States currency for purchase. So if I'm the Chancellor of Germany or whatever country I am, I have to convert my currency to U.S. dollars and then tell somebody else, I want to buy a couple million barrels there, but those have to be paid for in United States currency. If that is taken away from us, immediately the United States currency will fall, just fall flat. We'll have a an economic crisis here because we are no longer the de facto standard. If you look at conversion rates all across the world, those banks from different countries base their dollars against the U.S. dollar. They don't base them against the Chinese yuan or the Russian ruble. They use our currency. And it would be an economic disaster for the United States if this was to occur.
And, Jim, what I believe is taking place, we're watching the stage being set, the scene being prepared. When that takes place, and I believe it will, when that takes place, it will be the trigger that will be used, just as they're now saying that with the cryptocurrency, they're having to protect the American citizens from investing in cryptocurrency. I've never believed in it personally, but they're saying that. But what they're about to issue would be nothing less than cryptocurrency, that is, digital currency. But I believe they will use the rationale that the U.S. petrodollar has been displaced on a global exchange basis, and that would be the rationale by saying we must go ahead and introduce the digital currency so that every person will have it in their handheld device and not greenbacks in their wallet. Now, do you believe, Jim, what are your thoughts in relationship to not just that, but do you think that somehow, some way, we're losing our freedoms with the electric vehicles and the monitoring and control? I've got an article where it talks about the move by the federal government. This article says the Fed's vehicle kill switch mandates is grossly dangerous and a violation of privacy. They're talking about having a kill switch put in every vehicle, starting with the new models, and all of them having to do it by 2026. So on the basis, the premise, that if you're a drunk driver, that your movements of the steering wheel can ascertain whether you are impaired and shut your vehicle down. Now, do you see beyond that the capability of the government using that to what I call geofencing to control where we go, how long we stay, et cetera, et cetera? Do you see dangers in losing our Bill of Rights, dangers in losing our freedoms through the further, how would you say, development of things with the electric vehicles and the kill switches?
This comes back, in my opinion, to everything being controlled digitally. Once again, if you've got everything controlled digitally there, you can have, let's just take this for example, an international terrorist group develops a certain type of artificial intelligence, or a state invents this artificial intelligence that has a malicious content to it there, and they digitally lock everything there. At that point, it doesn't matter if it's the United States doing it, Russia doing it, China or India. If they've locked everybody's ability to do anything there, particularly whenever it comes to currency and travel, you are at their mercy. To turn off, then let's also look at the physical properties of it. And let's just take Florida as a good example there. We have we had Matthew, what was it, 3 years ago? Well, I personally was out of power for 5 days. If I had an electric vehicle and I was told to evacuate, guess what? If I only had it one quarter charged that morning, I might get 50 miles away from Jacksonville. Then I'm completely stranded. I am then personally at a disadvantage for every individual that wants to extort me in any way they feel they have that right to. And that's up to and including the government there. You know, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I have the only transportation I have is my feet. and I have no ability to have access to currency, and I have no ability, you know, so they could say, look, you move to this camp here, this FEMA camp, and I'm stuck. So I don't believe that the citizens of the United States, that really what I do believe is they should wake up and start demanding that our government rescind all of these policies that are going to inhibit the freedom of our generation and future generations. It's just, it's silly that nobody's looking at this with more gravitas than they are.
Yes. In fact, Jim, I'm looking at a headline that says, perverse, another state commits to banning new gas car sales. It goes on to say, subtitle, everything they do in this space only serves to make our situation worse in America. New Jersey will prohibit the sale of new gas-powered vehicles by 2035. And it goes on to talk about all of the other states that have done this, of the state of California, Vermont, New York, Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Virginia, Rhode Island, Maryland, Connecticut, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are setting dates that after certain dates, you'll not be able to buy, and the manufacturer will not be able to manufacture a gasoline-propelled vehicle. They're forcing us into the electric vehicles. And I'm looking at an article that says, major study reveals, listen to this, then I want your comment. Major study reveals that alarming true cost of electronic vehicle or electric vehicles fueling equals to $17.33 per gallon. A new study called The Overcharged Expectations claimed that without federal subsidies, the real cost of fueling an electric vehicle would amount to $17.33 per gallon if it were gasoline. Adding the cost of the subsidies to the true cost of fueling an EV would equate to an EV owner paying $17.33 per gallon of gas. And these estimates do not include the hundreds of billions more in dollars in subsidies the Inflation Reduction Act is now paying out with taxpayers' dollars. The study claims that the 2021 electric vehicles, for example, would cost $48,698 more over a 10-year period of time. And it goes on to talk about the cost factor and what is being spent today by the federal tax money in order for people to buy the electronic or the electric vehicles. So the question, are we being deceived as Americans? There are multitudes thinking, well, I'm saving the planet. It's green energy. It's not putting out an exhaust that's hurting the ozone layer. But what are the real costs to the, how would you say, to the environment by using an electric vehicle? What's the real cost that if it had to be paid for out of the pocket, most people would never buy an electric vehicle? So the question is, Jim, are we buying into the trap that's being set to, again, geofencing? If you have an electric vehicle where the federal government can shut it off when they want to, they can determine how much you can spend. You can't spend money for gasoline if you got your digital currency. Click, it's gone, et cetera, et cetera. Will that further deteriorate our Bill of Rights in America if we see the progression as we're watching today?
Oh, it's much worse than that. I'll make two statements here, and I'll make them brief and quick. Ask any electrician you know what would happen in Jacksonville if every single individual at 3 o'clock this afternoon turned on their clothes dryer all at once. We don't have the infrastructure for it. So you've automatically, if every household has an electric vehicle there, you're automatically limiting every single citizen in Duval. And I'm just saying here locally, you can extrapolate this on a nationwide basis there, that every single individual here in Jacksonville that had a home with an electric vehicle would not be able to drive it every day on the current infrastructure. Really, it's just basic physics there. This power doesn't come in a can. It doesn't come in a bottle. It's generated by a plant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your input. The thing that concerns me, sir, is to watch what is happening with the evisceration, the destruction of our Bill of Rights. And all of this play into that destruction of our Bill of Rights. Jim, thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
God bless you,
sir. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. We're just talking about the electric vehicles. We're just talking about the fact that the federal government wants to put in a kill switch. It is a shutoff switch. On the premise, it's being sold to the legislators on the basis that it will protect the citizens from drunken drivers. that if that, let's just say, for example, you're driving down the highway, all of a sudden a cat runs in front of your car, you swerve to avoid hitting the cat, but your kill switch goes off because you are driving erratically. What do you do? How do you handle that? And looking at a headline, Congress votes against the amendment to defund government-mandated kill switches in vehicles, dated November the 8th. Congress has voted against Thomas Massie's amendment to defund a government mandate kill switch for 2026 and following cars. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that on a bipartisan basis, as it was called, this was embedded into the Infrastructure Act that was already passed. But then when it was discovered that this is embedded in the Infrastructure Act of 2 years ago, then a bill is put into motion for it to be killed, that it would not allow the federal government to have the mandated kill switch. But Republicans and Democrats voted against the amendment that would have prevented the government from doing that. I find it egregious when we have those that supposed to be representing us are not representing us. They're representing the federal progressive woke society of the Biden administration that's further deteriorating, destroying, eviscerating our Bill of Rights. I see on the horizon before us, ladies and gentlemen, an America without a Bill of Rights, where Christian freedom, Christian liberties, Christians in general, citizens in general, will be repressed and will be subjected to the mandates of a federal government that's against God and against what the Bill of Rights allows us to have today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville. So-